Thankful that you're here. Thankful to God we have another opportunity to worship Him. And I invite your attention to the passage that Philip just read for us, in which the apostle, inspired by God, speaks directly to those who are very quick and easy to identify and to condemn the sins of the Gentiles, chapter 1, and yet themselves were guilty of the same or similar things, and yet were unwilling to understand that they too fell under judgment. And so he calls to task the hardness of their heart, the impenitence of a heart that would condemn others and yet not understand that by doing the same things they were also condemning themselves. Note particularly that he says, "We know that the judgment of God is according to truth against those who practice such things." The judgments of God are true and righteous altogether, Psalm 19 and verse 9 says. And so God's judgments are revealed to us in His Word. They are according to truth. Now, this is set in contrast to the unrighteous judgments that these were drawing against others. And it is clear that he says, when we make judgments that are not according to truth, we condemn ourselves. We will not escape the judgment of God, verse 3 says. So, and then again in verse 5, he speaks of the righteous judgment of God. So the point of the lesson, as we've titled it, is we will be judged. That judgment, that we all live before God who calls us to account one day, and that we live under judgment. Now, the reason this caught my attention, I guess, this past week is that going home one evening, I saw the sign on the Christ Lutheran Church there on Vista, and it says, "Don't judge." It's still up, by the way. "Don't judge someone just because they sin differently than you do." Now, you know, that sounds pretty reasonable to start off with, doesn't it? I mean, after all, just because they're sinning some way that you're not sinning, you shouldn't be condemning them just because they're sinning differently than you. No, notice the present tense. They sin differently than you do sin. So the implication, I suppose, is really the message is we're all sinners, and none of us should live under judgment. Nobody ought to judge anybody else. That's really the message. And you know that, again, we'll say, "Well, that's right. We shouldn't be judging anybody." Is that right? I know Romans 2 says, "Don't judge with a hard and impenitent heart that condemns others and unwilling to see that when we practice the same things, we're in condemnation." That's an unrighteous judgment. I get it. But does that mean that there are no judgments? This is not the first time we've studied these things, but I want us to kind of think of it from a little different point of view tonight. And that is, the reality is we will be judged. And to suggest that we're all sinners and so there shouldn't be any judging going on misses the Bible teaching about what judgment is all about. This really is not what Jesus taught. Let's look at what Jesus taught about judging. Jesus said, "Don't judge hypocritically." You see, that's what was going on in Romans chapter 2. The hypocritical judgment was seeing the sins of another and yet not applying the same judgment to themselves. If that's what you're doing, you're sinning. If that's the kind of judgment you make, judge others as sinners but do the same thing, then that's hypocritical judgment. That's ungodly judgment. That's unrighteous judgment. That's not a judgment according to truth. And you're sinning when you do it. Jesus said in Matthew 7 and verse 1, here's the classic verse, lifted out of its context to say something that it does not mean, "Judge not that you be not judged." Now what does Jesus mean by that? Never a judgment? No, he explains. "For," that is, "because, with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you." In other words, he says, understand that if you are harsh, you're going to get a harsh judgment. If you're unmerciful, you're not going to obtain mercy. If you're hypocritical, as he goes on to illustrate, then your judgment is going to be against your hypocrisy. Look, he explains, he illustrates. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye? The word look or see there is, why do you give special contemplation to the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? You don't perceive the plank in your eye, but you give special attention to the speck in your brother's eye. Now, is that the judgment with which you wish to be judged? So he says then, judge not, lest you be judged with the same kind of judgment. Look, how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye. Hypocrites. Now there's the key. He is condemning hypocritical judging when he says, judge not that you be not judged. First remove the plank from your own eye. Now by the way, you're going to have to judge that you've got a plank in your eye. You're going to have to discern it. The word judge means to separate and to choose and to designate or discern. We judge fruit to be ripe or spoiled, don't we? We make all kinds of judgments. Well, now he says, don't make a kind of judgment that sees the speck in your brother but does not attend to the plank in yourself. But rather, remove the plank in yourself, in your eye, and then you can see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. So Jesus forbids hypocritical judging, but he approves the careful discernment of right and wrong, both to help others get that speck out of his eye and to protect yourself, get the plank out of yourself, and then to be able to discern between the dogs and the swine. Don't give what is holy to the dogs, and don't cast your pearls before swine, verse 6 says. You're going to have to judge. You see, that's not a blanket statement, make no judgments. It is a prohibition against hypocritical, harsh judging that is unwilling to apply the same standard to oneself. Easily seeing the sin in others, but never directing that recognition to ourselves. That's what Jesus forbids. Look at Hebrews 5 and verse 14. Solid food is for the full-grown man or the mature. Even those who by reason of use, that is, using the Word of God, have their senses exercised to discern, to judge good and evil, to distinguish, to identify, to separate out, to know what is good and what is evil, to make that judgment based upon what? The solid food of the Word of God, the meat of God's Word, is his context. When by reason of time you ought to be teachers, you have need again that someone teach you the rudiments of the first principles of the oracles of God. We shouldn't have to spend time convincing ourselves that we have to make judgments. So why do we have to do that? Well, we'll get to that in just a minute. Before we do, notice what else Jesus said about judging. He says, don't judge according to appearance. Do not just take something at face value. Dig deeper. Judge with righteous judgment. John 7 and verse 24. Because you see, they judged Jesus to be a violator of the Sabbath on the surface, because they were binding their traditions. They were using a standard of judgment that was incorrect, rather than allowing to see that the law offered mercy, and in no way showing that mercy was a violation of the Sabbath law. See, they thought Jesus was a Sabbath breaker because he healed on the Sabbath. And some wanted to kill him. Can you imagine? They wanted to kill him because he is healing people on the Sabbath day. He said, don't judge according to appearance. Judge with righteous judgment. So again, here's what Jesus taught about judging. He said, don't be hypocritical, but make careful discernment. Identify what is sin. Identify what is the beam in yourself and the speck in your brother, and help your brother. Get it out of yourself. Help your brother with his eye, with his speck, and you protect yourself. Don't give what's holy to the dogs. Don't give the pearls to the swine, or they'll turn and rend you. They'll tear you to pieces. You got to make a judgment when to say, shake the dust off your feet and move on. It's judgment. Judge righteously, Jesus said. In Luke 12 and 57, Jesus said, "And why even of yourselves do you not judge what is right?" So over and over, we find the Son of God teaching us that it is entirely legitimate to render certain judgments, and entirely sinful to render other sorts of judgments. Okay? We are not to judge by appearance. That's wrong. That's sin. We're not to judge hypocritically. That's sin. That's wrong. We're not to use a standard of men's traditions, men's wisdom. That's not the right standard. We're talking about, remember Romans 2 said that God's judgment is according to truth. The judgment of God is according to truth against those who practice such things. God renders judgment based on truth. So if we're going to judge what is right, we're going to have to judge based on truth, revealed truth, the Word of God. Not truth as I wish to define it or you wish to define it, but as God has defined it, revealed it in His Word. So what is at the heart of this don't judge mantra? What's at the heart of this don't judge someone just because they sin differently than you do? Which it really says, you have no right to say anything about somebody else's sin because you're a sinner too. Well, I might as well sit down right now because I'm a sinner. I've sinned. So I better not say anything else, had I? Just sit down. Be quiet. That's at the heart of it. That's at the heart of it. At the heart of this mantra is people don't want their sins exposed. Look at John 3, verses 19 through 21. You know it's so. Oh, by the way, you're going to have to make a judgment. You're going to have to judge this matter a little bit. You're going to have to take some evidence and render a conclusion. Use truth as your guide and you'll see it's so. Jesus said this about it in John 3, 19 through 21. This is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world. Jesus is that light. His truth is that light, isn't He? John 1. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. That is, it did not overwhelm it. It did not overcome it. Okay. Light's come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light, and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. You see, when we practice sin, we don't want the exposure of a judgment based on truth, of the light of the Word of God showing our sin. No, we don't want that exposure. And so we say, don't judge me. And turn a legitimate judgment based on truth to try to discern what's right and wrong and to call sinners to repentance, turn that into an evil thing. Turn that into the sinful thing. You see, what we're talking about here is one of the devices of the devil of which we are not ignorant. 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 11. We're not ignorant of his devices. And he will try to turn off the light of truth and what is right in God's sight, because that exposes sin. And he'll do it by saying, don't judge me.
Because we're all sinners.
Well, that's a given. All of sin. We know that. We've all sinned. The question is, am I practicing it or have I been forgiven in Christ? Now look at the second part of that. Verse 21. He who does the truth. See our sign up there on that little church sign. That intimates that we're practicing sin. Present tense. Sin differently than you do sin. Are you practicing sin? I hope not. I hope you're not practicing it. You may fall into it. You may commit sin, and you need to repent of that. I hope you're not practicing it, because you see, the light of truth exposes sin. And he says, the ones who do the truth, come to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they've been done in God. So the question is, am I practicing evil or am I doing the truth? And this whole business of don't judge, never is to be a judgment. Don't judge really is, it comes from a heart that says, I don't want my sin exposed, so you don't say anything about it because you're a sinner too. You know, it shifts the object rather than letting God's Word. Now understand what we're talking about here. I'm not saying that Joe Price is a standard by which anything ought to be judged. And you're not either. None of us are the standard by which anything ought to be judged. The point is, we will be judged by God's judgment. And He has revealed His judgment in His Word. That's the amazing thing. We have the answers. We have the answers. Now, sometimes growing up, I remember we had open book tests. Take the book in. Use the book to find the answers. All right? Ought to be a breeze, right? But sometimes those weren't a breeze. Well, why is it? Because some just didn't want to do the test, I guess. Some just didn't want to study any. But God's given us the answers. Here's His judgments of what is sin, what is evil, and what is good, and what is upright. And we will be judged. We will not escape it. Romans, the second chapter. There's no escape. So, shouldn't we get ready? Shouldn't we get ready for the judgment? In Acts 17, verse 30, the apostle said, the times of ignorance God overlooked or winked at. That is, He did not immediately impose His judgment and of condemnation. He was long-suffering. He was merciful. He provided an avenue of escape. And He didn't immediately impose His judgment at times, offering a time to repent. But now it says He calls all men everywhere to repent. Inasmuch as He has appointed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom He has ordained. He has set a judgment in place. And He has told us through the resurrection of Jesus that Christ is going to judge us. So, really, when we start thinking within ourselves, well, I don't want anybody judging me. They have no right to do that. Well, let's just back up a minute. Well, nobody has that right. Nobody's arguing that anybody has the authority to be the judge. Jesus is the judge. But do we have the right to share His judgment? To teach His judgment? To warn of His judgment, and to use His Word to reprove and rebuke as well as exhort. Amen. You see, that is at the heart of what we're discussing. I want to look at three things. We're going to be judged by the Lord, we're going to be judged by a common standard, and we're going to be judged by the world. John 5:22-23, Jesus said, "For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son." We are going to be judged by the Son. Now again, the idea of judge is to separate and determine. He's going to render a determination. He's going to judge every one of us. Jesus is not just going to judge the world. He's going to judge saint and sinner. In Acts 17:31 again, you see, He has appointed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness. The world. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Every one of us. Now, that just ought to make us fall on our knees to contemplate that sometime in our future, we're going to be before Jesus Christ. And we're going to receive, we're going to give an answer for our life in this body. And we're going to receive the things according to what we have done, whether good or whether bad. Now, you can say, "Don't judge me," all you want. But if you're unwilling to listen to the Lord's judgment, then you're not getting ready for your day of judgment with the Lord. And he's saying, get ready. He's telling us it's going to happen. And so, prepare your heart, prepare your life, live your life by doing the truth. John 5:21. Not practicing evil. John 3:20. Do you hate the light? Do you like the cover of darkness? Or do you want the light to shine? Hebrews 10:30, by the way, says the Lord will judge His people. Not just judging the world out there, those evil, wicked people out there. He's going to judge His people too. See, He's going to render to everyone according to His deeds, Romans 2:6. So, look at the contrast though between the Christian and the world. We have boldness in the day of judgment because we have an open book test. We believe this is going to be what we're judged by. And we put our confidence in the word of the judge, the truth that He's revealed. And so in 1 John chapter 4, verses 17 through 19, the Holy Spirit directs John to say, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as He is, so are we in this world. We've chosen to be converted, to be transformed, to renew our mind in holiness and in righteousness and holiness of truth, as Paul said in Ephesians 4:24. We've chosen to follow the Master who is also the Judge. And so there is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear because fear involves torment. And he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love Him because He first loved us. You see, when we love God, there's no fear. And by the way, what that means is, he'll go on to explain in this text, is we keep His commandments and they're not a burden to us. Chapter 5:3. There's not a separation between the commands of God and our love for God. We act in love when we keep His commandments. And there's no fear. There is instead boldness in the day of judgment. Because we've submitted ourselves to the will of the judge. And practice His truth. Now, look, on the other hand, the world sins boldly, refusing to recognize God's judgment. The world says, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Let us live for ourselves now. But sudden destruction shall come upon them, and they will not escape. 1 Thessalonians 5:2-3. See, so all the world boldly sins, Christians are emboldened in the day of judgment. But there'll be great fear. It's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God, unprepared to meet Him. You know, when Israel refused to repent in the days of Amos, God sent the famine and they would not repent. He sent drought and they would not repent. He sent plagues and pestilence and they would not repent. He sent wars and they would not repent until finally He said, prepare to meet your God, O Israel. They were unprepared. We sing the song, prepare to meet your God. But you see, the Christian is living in preparation. And we have boldness because we live in the love of God. Because He first loved us. And we keep His commandments, we do His truth. The world is not of that nature. But now look, too, we're going to be judged by a common standard, aren't we? By the Word of God. When we follow Jesus' instruction to judge righteously or judge righteous judgment, there's a contrast between appearance and truth. Don't judge by appearance, judge by truth. You see, when He said don't judge hypocritically, you judge by truth. God's Word is truth. And so, John 12:48-49, He said, he that rejects Me and does not receive My sayings has one that judges him. The word that I spoke, the same will judge him in the last day. You get that? I know it's a familiar passage, but we need to let it soak in. You reject Jesus. You don't receive His words. It's those very words that are going to judge you, going to condemn you in the last day. Because He hasn't spoken of His own authority, you see, verse 49. The Father who sent me gave me a command what to say and what to say and what to speak. We need to listen to Jesus. We need to stop listening to our friends and neighbors and family and friends who don't know God, don't know the Word of God, don't know the will of God, but then have the audacity to tell us how things ought to be spiritually. We need to listen to Jesus. We need to get our nose in the book. We need to listen to Him. Because that's the standard that's going to judge us. So, since we know we're going to be judged by this Word, isn't it smart? Isn't it wise? Isn't it preferred that we incorporate that truth into our hearts and live it every day? Doesn't that make sense? Sure it does. More than that, in addition to that, He said, His commandment is everlasting life. That's why we do it. His commandment is life everlasting. Revelation 20, 11 through 15. You remember, John has a scene of the great white throne judgment. It's a place we're going to all be. It's this place before the judgment seat of Christ, Paul wrote about. He said, I saw a great white throne and Him who sat on it. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. That'd be you and me. We're the small ones. There's nothing great about us. Small and great. Whoever you are, whatever you're standing. Prince or pauper. It makes no difference. The books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things that were written in the books. The dead were judged according to what they've done. Our deeds are going to be judged by the books of God, by the record of God, the truth of God. The sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. That is resurrection. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Again, the books signifying the standard of truth. And if our name's not written in the book of life because we didn't keep the will of God that's written in the books, we're cast into the lake of fire. Now that's what's ahead. If we don't think that's serious, we need to stop and read it again. That's the most serious thing you can think of. And sin in our conduct will cast us into the lake of fire. That'll be our judgment. But it will be a judgment according to truth. You see, our words and our deeds, Jesus said, by our words will be justified, and by our words we will be condemned. Now, go with me to 1 Corinthians 4 a minute. Because you see, the point here we need to see is we accept the Lord's judgment, not men's. And that's the point to be made. We're not interested in men's judgments, but we are very interested in God's judgment. The judgments that God renders. Now you see in 1 Corinthians 4, Paul had talked about stewards being faithful. And then he said, with me it's a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by a human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself. For I know of nothing against myself. Yet I am not justified by this, but he who judges me is the Lord. Now, Paul said, even though I don't know anything against myself, that's not the standard by which I believe myself justified before God and right in His sight. God judges me. But as a result, he says, it's really a small thing for men to judge me. They're not the standard. Now, we'll make some application to that in a minute. You see, what that says for you and me, too, is we must be careful not to judge based upon our own human will and wisdom. We are called upon to make some judgments. Matthew 7, 6. John 7, 24. Luke 12, 57. God says make judgments about what's right and wrong. But when you do it, don't do it on the basis of yourself. The basis of what you experience, the basis of your feeling, the basis of your wisdom. No, So he says, don't judge anything before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the heart. You see, here's the thing about judging. Is God judges the heart by the fruit we know them. God knows the heart. And so we need to understand we're not heart readers, but we are fruit readers. Jesus said, by their fruits you shall know them. You know, that's a judgment. We look at the fruit and we determine whether it's ripe, not ripe, spoiled. We make a judgment based on the evidence. So, God's going to judge us by His standard. So when we render legitimate judgments about right and wrong, we must be careful that we're not using our own will, our own opinion, public opinion, human wisdom, or anything else other than God's revealed Word. But with that in hand, we know that His judgments are true and righteous altogether. And so we're able to judge righteous judgment. But now I'll also note with you, we are judged by the world when we are faithful to Jesus. And this is the reality of it. You see, when we judge by God's Word that we've sinned against God, and we believe His gospel of salvation. You see, we accept God's judgment of ourselves, that in our sin we're lost. But we believe His gospel and repent and obey and are saved. Then the reality is, the world's going to judge us for being faithful to Jesus. Oh, you're one of them. You're one of those people. Remember, Peter is among the people there as Jesus is on trial. And the little girl said, well, you're one of them. No, I'm not. Well, yeah, you were with them. I don't know what you're talking about. Well, your speech gives you away. You're one of them. Well, he was one of them. But he denied knowing the Lord and cursed on that occasion. My question is, you see, when the world begins to judge us for our faith in Jesus, what are we going to do? How do we react? What decision do we make in return? You're going to be judged as an evildoer. Jesus was. We're not going to be different. Peter said, I beg you, I beseech you as sojourners and pilgrims to abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, see, they're going to speak against you as an evildoer for nothing less than the fact that you have come out of the darkness of sin and your life rebukes their sin. You stand as a sharp contrast. When you serve righteousness, your life judges their iniquity. And they don't like that exposure. Don't judge me, you evildoer. He said, though, here's your defense. Don't give in to the lust of the flesh. You give up the high ground when you do that. He says, conduct yourself honorable among the Gentiles, among those who do not believe, and among the lost, so that when they speak against you as an evildoer, they may by your good works which they observe glorify God in the day of visitation. You become a catalyst to bring them to faith. You give up the ground if you acquiesce, if you give in to the taunts, to the evil judgments. Peter said, had a lot to say about this. Chapter 3, 13-15-17, he talks about it again. Chapter 4, 4 and 5, it mentions it still a third time. Must have been pretty important. Some of the trials the brethren were going through then. Their faith was under attack, and they needed to stand strong in opposition to those who were opposing them and trying to defame them because of their good, because of the goodness they were living. You narrow-minded bigot. When you talk about homosexuality as sin, well, you're a homophobe. You talk about all of the immoralities of the day, well, you're just narrow-minded. Get with it. Paul said, have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Galatians 6, 4 and verse 16. Have I become your enemy? Are you willing to become someone's enemy because of truth, for the truth's sake? Because they're going to call you an enemy at some point, at some time, when you tell them the truth. Now, are you willing to accept that? Are you willing to man up and say, yeah, if that's what you think of me, you're wrong. I'm not your enemy. I'm the one who loves you because I tell you the truth. But you see, the world's going to judge you as unloving. And you're going to have to stand with Jesus. Because He's going to judge you one day about it. He's going to judge those situations of our life when we're called to task. Will we stand for what is right? Will we do what is right? Or will we, with Peter, say, I don't know Him? The world's making judgments to try to undermine our faith and our credibility. See? You're going to be judged as sinfully judging when you speak God's judgments. When you speak God's judgments about how to be saved, there are going to be some that judge you as sinful because they don't believe the plan of salvation. When you speak God's judgment about true worship, there are going to be some who defame you, who reject you. When you speak God's judgment about moral purity, there will be some who will make you their enemy, not a friend. You see, after all, they judged Jesus as being afflicted by God, didn't they? When He hung on the cross, there were people who said, well, look what God's doing to that guy. He's really bad. You know, the world, here's another judgment you may be faced with. You can be judged to be a cult. I've heard that judgment. You blind, mindless, controlled, no. When the blind lead the blind, they both fall into a pit. And you know, I really think that kind of judgment really comes from somebody who really doesn't know what to say. Now, there are some cultic people, no doubt. But, you see, that kind of a charge of mind control and blindly following, that's a diversion. That's a diversion by those who don't want to be controlled by the yoke of Jesus Christ. And so it's easy to accuse someone else. Well, you know what, brethren? We're going to be judged as insignificant and in error too. Look how small you are. Who do you think you are? Well, I have 1 Peter 3, 20 and 21 up there because Noah's family was pretty small in contrast to all those who died when that rain started to fall and the door shut on the ark and they were all drowned. They all lost their lives in God's judgment. That was God's judgment. Noah didn't make the judgment. He believed God. He believed he'd better by faith do what God said because he didn't want to fall under that condemnation. But don't you know, as he was a preacher of righteousness, there was those who judged him as being insignificant and foolish till the floods came and took them all away. So, brethren, you see, it's a small thing. It really is. It's a small thing to be judged by men. And some of our brethren make those same kind of judgments at times. But it really is a small thing for men to use their self-defined human standards of what is right and what is wrong. Really, should we bend to the judgments of men at the expense of following the judgment of God? It shouldn't be a choice. But you see, the devil starts to work on us. He tempts us. He tries to prod us. He tries to convince us that judging business, that's just wrong, wrong, wrong. rather than understand. We must judge right and wrong. And by the way, we must judge ourselves. We have to examine ourselves. Look with me at 1 Corinthians 11 before we conclude. 1 Corinthians 11, 31 and 32. The Apostle Paul said, if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. That is, if we would examine ourselves, we would not be condemned, is his point. Because you see, some in Corinth, he said, some of you are already weak and sick, and some of you are asleep. That is, some of you are already spiritually dead. You need to judge yourself to not be judged, not be condemned. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. The Lord's judgments are for our chastening, for our correction. His Word is there to help improve us so that we are not condemned with the world in the day of judgment. And so we're taught to examine ourselves. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5. Examine ourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Now there's the standard. There's the standard, the Word of God. Examine yourselves. Are you in the faith? Well, what's the faith? That's the gospel that we preach. Galatians 1, 11 and 23. Are you in the gospel? Are you in the truth? Test yourselves. Take it in hand. How do you compare to it? Open book test. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Is Jesus in you? See, this examination is fundamentally to find out, is Christ in us? Are we in Christ? Unless indeed you are disqualified, reprobate, cast away. See, so someone who says, oh, I'll never make a judgment, then you've just assigned yourself to eternal death. You need to judge yourself according to the Word of God. We need to examine ourselves. We need to do that every day. Every day. Know that, you see, we're going to be judged. We're going to be judged by Christ. The issue is not do not judge because we're all sinners. That's a diversion tactic of the devil, to keep us away from God's judgments. Don't buy into it. Don't buy into it. The issue is, we've got to judge righteously. We've got to use God's truth, apply it to ourselves, so we can then help each other and help the lost know God's judgments. And when we preach truth, it's the judgments of God, calling sinners to repent, to be saved through the Savior. Here's our incentive, going back to where we started in Matthew 7. With what judgment you judge, you will be judged. We need to judge righteously, because I want a righteous judgment, don't you? We need to judge without hypocrisy. You want hypocritical judging of yourself? No, we don't want that. So don't do that to others. We need to judge without favoritism, without partiality. We don't want God to show partiality, favors, do we? So we must not do that. We must judge without vengeance, without personal revenge. That's not how we want to be judged, is it? We don't want somebody to judge us out of revenge. We need to judge without harshness. You want a harsh judgment or one that's anchored in mercy and truth? Then judge others the same way. Mercy and truth. See, with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. The issue is not that we're not to render any sorts of judgments. We have to. But let's render them in a godly, righteous way, guided by truth. And know that there will come a time that others will judge us unrighteously, just as they did the Savior. But that's all right. That's a small thing to be judged by men. It's the Lord who judges. He knows our hearts. He knows our deeds. And we accept His judgment as always true. Now, if you look at your life today, and you know that in the way you've been living. The light of truth says and judges that you're in sin, you're lost. Then you need to become a Christian. You need to put your faith in Jesus tonight. Confess your faith and repent of your sins and be baptized into Jesus and be saved. If you're a Christian, and through this examination using God's standard of judgment, you see your sin. You see you practice sin. Then repent of that. Repudiate it. Confess it to the Lord and He will forgive. Let us prepare to meet our God. Let us be prepared for judgment by living in the judgments of God every day. Won't you come while we stand and sing?
Oh, to Jesus, I...